With Montana News, I'm Bree Zender. Jillian Johnsrud from the Flathead Valley always wanted to be a foster parent. On her first date with a man who had later become her husband, she had an out-of-the-ordinary question.
How do you feel about fostering or adopting from foster care? And he was like, which is an odd first date question, you know, but he was just a champ about it. He was like, you know, my parents are foster parents, and like, I have a foster brother right now, and I think I really like that.
Johnsrud and her husband, Adam, have been foster parents for over a decade. They fostered and adopted 4 children, including 3 young siblings in Montana. But working with Montana State's foster care caseworkers has made her dream much more difficult. Like this one time, when a caseworker came for their monthly visit with her family.
I think in our area, they're better at checking the box than actually meeting the need. So someone was pretty good about showing up at our house for 15 minutes and being like, are the kids' educational needs met? Their clothing needs? Their mental health needs? Check, check, check. And even if I was like, no, we really are. And just like, we're really having a hard time with this. It's like, oh, well, I already checked it. So we're good. Like, I don't actually have time to fix this problem.
This is especially difficult for Johnsrud and her foster children. One of them, like many in the foster care system, has a mental disability. And this isn't something that just her family experiences. Self-audits and investigations from Montana Child and Family Services, or CFS, say that caseworkers here experience an overload of work that leads to lax paperwork. Nearly every aspect of their workload has seen significant increases in just the past 3 years. Sometimes there's no evidence that caseworkers visited at all. And it doesn't matter what kind of case this is. Foster care, legal cases, even follow-ups on child abuse calls. In 2015, only 30% of child abuse investigation paperwork and research in Montana was done on time, down from 80% 5 years ago.
Montana stands out.
That's Joyce Funda, a Kalispell attorney who is a part of the governor's Protect Montana Kids Commission that's looking for solutions to Montana's CFS problems. She's also the director of Montana CASA workers, who advocate for children in court.
Some states have actually had a decline in dependent neglect cases, but the states who have an increase are generally experiencing increases at about 2 to 3%. We have alarming, spiky increases that they're not just spikes. It's almost a crescendo.
It's difficult to find out exactly why this is happening in Montana because, well, each case is different and complicated. But CFS says it's likely because of a spike in meth use and domestic violence in Montana. Brent Leshinsky, who supervises the CFS branch in Helena, says they had to remove 30% more children from their families each year for the past few years.
And almost all of that's directly attributable to methamphetamine.
In addition to dealing with this high caseload, CFS branches across Montana are experiencing high turnover rates. Leshinsky says it's mostly because there's just less stressful, higher-paying jobs outside of CFS.
In 2015, we had a worker leave approximately 1 per month throughout the entire year. So we have 16 positions, and we were at 16 filled for about 1 month, I think, last year.
Because of this, Leshinsky himself has had to handle some cases too, because there's just not enough staff to keep up. And that's not in his job description. Another reason caseworkers don't stick around, some say, is because of the way their jobs are structured. CFS uses a system called One Family, One Caseworker, adopted in 2011. The idea is that one family is assigned to one caseworker throughout their entire experience with CFS, from the first visit to custody battles in court.
Where they felt there's a better outcome for people, where you can work from the family from the very beginning to the very end of the case and get kids successfully reunited.
Leshinsky says this setup worked well for a while and that he really liked it. But with where the system's at right now, he says it's just not working.
It was so much at one time that it was hard for people to compartmentalize. So people who are really good at one thing and not as good at the other thing, where it's hard to be good at both of those things. So it was a real struggle for people to stay caught up with both of them.
Joyce Funda from the Protect Montana Kids Commission says that the system was controversial from the start.
And this is just my opinion, that it would seem to me that if a person came knocking on their door and removed their children, and then they later found that they were working with that same person on a treatment plan and a plan to get their children back, that it could create some emotional biases and discord.
The Helena branches started to separate workflow into different categories, but other branches continue to operate under this system. Meanwhile, there's been a number of anti-child abuse protests held outside government buildings across Montana. The protesters are asking for big changes, immediately. Individual CFS branches have made small changes, but they can't do anything big because they keep getting denied funding. Over the past few years, a couple of state house bills asking for more funding were dropped. The Protect Montana Kids Commission is currently drafting a proposal for more funding. Here's Commission member Joyce Funda again.
What we are discovering is that it is a very wide systemic problem and a very deep systemic problem, and it is going to require an awful lot of work in order to get it to a point where it's a well-functioning system.
But first, the commission must come up with a list of recommendations. Then it must be approved by the legislature and then signed by the governor. And there's really no timeline for when everything will get done.
The welfare of our children, I think, should be a collective responsibility in the state of Montana. And by that, I mean that while there's certainly problems with the department, no question about it, but it doesn't mean that the department is singularly responsible for making that better. It is the responsibility of the government, that is the legislature, both funding and with legislation. It's the responsibility of the communities. So we need to examine, why do we have these cases?
The commission's recommendations for changes will be brought to the next legislative session in January. Montana CFS is also searching for a new state administrator. The former head left in April to pursue a career in law. That leaves foster families, like Jillian Johnsrud's, continuing to face tough challenges. I asked her what advice she has for people who might want to start foster families.
It's unreasonably hard. And just be prepared for that. So you definitely have to, it's something you have to feel just really called to do. Because there's no rational reason to torture yourself like that. There's kids in crisis, and those kids need placements that night. So there's always more pressing things, but the important things get put on the back burner for 2 years.
For Montana Public Radio, I'm Bree Zender.